Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.
So, now I have to present a summary of the facts, not the hypothesis I stated before, of the that demonstrate the death of the Turing Shroud man. This is an improved review based on the fact that I from other authors. Firstly, became the study Barbara Faccini, but she requested the help of other authors, like Professor Carreira, me, Professor José Palacios, and José Delfín Villarain, that are surgical doctors that will give a clear explanation of what it is visible on the shroud. The dead man or alive, the death of the man of the Turing Shroud has been supposed without doubt for thousands of years since the shroud appeared in Liri, and it has been confirmed from the characteristics of the body imprint by first shroud researchers in the last century. However, Hans Naber in 1960-70, better known as Kurt Berner, formulated the hypothesis of the survival of the Turing Shroud man after the execution and the crucifixion. His hypothesis was based on a legend still diffused in Kashmir telling that Jesus survived the crucifixion and migrated to this region where he naturally died. This hypothesis has been then re-examined by Ernst, Kersten, and Gruber and others, renewing all controversy. This paper will show that the Turing Shroud man really died, presenting many evidences from the body image and the blood stains on the Turing Shroud. Forensic expertise from Professor Palacios and Villarain. The following description of the forensic and medical data should be read as presented by experts at a judicial hearing. No personal belief enter into the evaluation of the evidence. No sources aside from the burial cloth are considered. Surgical consideration. The liquid that flowed from the wound on the right side of the chest at the fifth intercostal space was a mixture of blood and serum. This means that the blood had remained for some time in the pleural cavity, hemothorax, and that it entered the space before the spear blow caused it to drain out. Otherwise, if the spear wound were the only reason for the flow, blood alone would have come out. It is well known that a blood sample at rest as a test tube will separate by sedimentation into the heavier cells that fall to the bottom and a clear serum that remains on the top. In order for this to happen, the blood must be at rest. This means that the crucified victim, when hit by the Roman spear, had been dead for a sufficient period of time without the respiratory motions that would have rendered impossible the physical separation of cell and serum. We might still hypothesize the almost impossible supposition that the victim was alive when the sphere blow was delivered. In that case, a wound of the type of the side of severed in the shroud would cause, due to the difference in pressure, a massive inflow of air, the pleural cavity, pneumothorax, with a mixture of blood from the wound itself, pneumothorax, with the large wound remaining open. The effect would be a paradoxical respiration that is a cause of the death if not treated immediately. Forensic analysis. The shroud image indicated a perfect immobility of the human body wrapped in it. The very detailed image would be impressive otherwise. Le facce di Imagine show the typical faces hippocratica of a corpse. The apparent age of the subject would be estimated at about 14-45 years, due perhaps to the hydration and a lengthy life of exposure to open air condition. The body shows an extreme rigidity, producing an S shape with the head bent towards the chest and the chest towards the abdomen. The chest is shown in an intense inhaling contraction, the abdomen protruding outwards, and the leg half bent, still retaining the asymmetry caused by the position on the cross. Continued, there are blood stains due to human blood from wounds inflicted upon a living person and also post-mortem flows. The side wound is certainly post-mortem. The edges of the wound are clearly undulated, since they did not retract, would be the case if the subject were alive when the blow was inflicted. Blood clots and serum are clearly separated, so that compared with blood seen on the arms, they seem lacking in structure. This is true for the stains in the lower part of the wound and in the flow that crosses the back, that occurred about 2 hours after death. Note, the ovarium sudarium is most probably a testimony of the death of the Turing Shroud man, since the matching of blood stains indicated both clothes covered the same face. Summing up, the consequences of the data here presented from a rational, scientific and forensic viewpoint, it is certain beyond any reasonable doubt that the Turing Shroud did envelop a dead human body. The debatable hypothesis, the Turing Shroud was alive. Someone still states that this evidence revealed the survival of the Turing Shroud man. The body was not rigid, in fact the head could be bent because a pillow had been placed under. The side one would reveal that the blood circulation was still active. A similar explanation is needed for the blood of the crown of thorns. The amount of blood is too much for a corpse. Wrist blood stains could be formed on the cross. The man was alive in the grave, and the two directions could correspond to the belly movements during breathing. A spear entering the chest of a crucified person in the place where the wound chest would not hit the heart. The Turing Shroud man was in a comatose condition. Then he was taken down from the cross and buried, and after a brief period of recovery, he woke up and went out. These are some very debatable hypotheses, but here are some explanations. Point by point, the shroud enveloped a real human body. This is a forward. In the case of Turing Shroud body is missing anyway, the body is missing anyway, we have an image left on it. The frontal image is 195 cm long, whereas the dorsal image is 202 cm, and it could be doubtful that both have been produced by the same body. Recently, Basso et al. Demonstrated that the compatibility of the frontal and dorsal image with a human body. A computerized mannequin, which could be moved according to all movements allowed by a human body, has been made, and it has been recovered by a numerical sheet simulating the Turing Shroud. This is the model of the mannequin. In order to fit the anthropometric parameters on the sheet height, position and dimension of the mannequin has been interactively changed. It results that both images are compatible with the enveloping of a man 175 plus minus 2 cm, that at all having a position similar to that of a crucified man. Rigor mortis is to answer the following question. Is the body was not rigid? Point one, consider before. In the work of Bass and Alias, to fit the imprint of the Turing shroud, their computerized mannequin had to be moved into a very peculiar position. The asymmetrical bending of knees, the unnatural bending of feet leading to an almost flat position, and the absence of flattening of the buttocks area are only compatible with an extreme rigidity of the human body. Rigor mortis is universally considered as a sign of death, sign of death. The side wound would reveal that the blood circulation was still active. The separated blood, instead, confirmed the contrary. We consider a side wound. The side wound is due to a blow with a sharp agent, like a sphere, at 5 degrees in the rim space level. It consists of a novel elongated mark, which corresponds to the place where the sphere entered, plus a bloody outflow of 6 cm wide and 15 cm long, this one. This outflow is probably made of rivulet of red liquid plus a clear liquid serum, as it is revealed by UV photos. A possible derivation is in situ, within the thoracic cavity, blood accumulation and subsequent separation following a hemopericardium or hemothorax. The blood separation into its components is considered a sign of death because the blood circulation must be stopped. A similar explanation is needed for the blood of the chrome torus, blood redissolved by fibrinolysis on the head. Blood traces on the head and, in general, all blood traces on the shroud have been formed thanks to fibrinolysis. This process allows the transfer of blood from the skin to a linen sheet, and it happens in a period of time less than 36 hours. This is a study of Brillante. The blood on the head due to the crown of thorns came out when the man was alive before to be buried. Then it desiccated and by fibrinolysis it was transposed to the shroud. Fourth point, blood on the Turing shroud experimental results. The following experiments has been done to estimate the amount of blood necessary to produce the observed stains. Reproduction of the side wound. A blood-like liquid consisting in a mixture of one-third water and two-thirds hydrosoluble color has been poured on a linen sheet using a syringe to paint the TS blood stains, following these signs, trace followed to reproduce the side wound. Besides the difference in the type of resulting stain, the blood on the Turing shroud is transferred by fibrinolysis, the amount of liquid needed can be evaluated. Quantity used only 3.0 milliliters. Comparing the two photographs, it is clear that the amount of liquid used in the experiment is excessive with respect to the quantity of blood staining the shroud. So, the side wound resulted from blood transfer less than 3 milliliters. Reproduction of blood belt, quantity, the same experiment was used to reproduce these blood stains, and the quantity used was 2.8 milliliters. You can see the very few quantity of blood. The total amount of blood on the Turing shroud can be evaluated at 25 plus minus 10 milliliters. It is negligible with respect to the 5,000 milliliters of a human body. Wrist blood stain pattern. The wrist blood stain is composed by two rivulets overlapping bloody halo. Here, here. The blood halo could performed during nailing operation with the body laid on the ground. The two rivulets were perhaps originated on the cross in the space between the wrist and the cross, but they could have been formed also when the Turishrau man was moved from the cross to the sepulchre. The wrist bloodstains are not a sign of a man alive. Sixth point, a fatal blow. From his experiments, Balbé concluded that a sphere blow like that observed on the Turin Shroud reached the earth. Coppini reached the same conclusion with experiments. The location of the South Wound, fifth intercostal space, has been marked. Here you can see in the photo. A sphere blow entered in there with a lateral inclination about 35 degrees and a horizontal inclination of 20 degrees reaches the right atrium of the earth after a rotation of only 8-10 centimeters. A sphere blow like that of the Turin Shroud is lethal even if the earth is not reached. It opens the thoracic cavity causing pneumothorax entering of air in the thoracic cavity, especially if the subject is suspended by the arms, and the lungs collapse. If not treated, it leads to death for anoxia and septicemia in a short time. This was stated by Mabolone. The sphere blow is a sufficient and sure cause of death. Signs of gas exhalation on face. If the Turin Shroud man was alive, he would breathe under the linen sheet. The exhalation is expected to have some halo in the Turin Shroud image. The resolution of 4.9 mm could not be respected, and a big halo would be registered in correspondence of the nose and mouth. Instead of having this image well resoluted, we should have an image like this if we make reference to gas diffusion hypothesis. The Turin Shroud man was buried as a corpse. If the Turin Shroud, this statement show that no movements due to detectable due to the breathing. If the Turin Shroud man was alive, he would be breathed under the linen sheet. A movement would be expected at least in correspondence of chest, belly and hands. In contrast to this fact, the hands are, together with waist, show the best resolution of the body image. Here we see the hand zone that are very well detailed. The Turin Shroud man was buried as a corpse, obviously. No smears in the bloodstains. The bloodstains do not show any smear or crust breaking, as it would have happened if the Turin Shroud man went out of the shroud. And this fact is quite important. The Turin Shroud man went off from the Turin Shroud in an inexplicable manner. He disappeared. We don't know how. If we don't make a reference to other not scientific facts. Impossibility to breathe. It is very difficult to breathe sufficiently even under a thin linen sheet for periods longer than 10 minutes. A wounded man like the Turin Shroud man would asphyxiate after a short time of permanence within the Turin Shroud if it were alive. The Turin Shroud man was a corpse under the Turin Shroud. Conclusions. The Turin Shroud is a very complex object that it is not easy to be understood, especially by scholars who have not a multidisciplinary experience. For this reason, frequently appear documents stating wrong facts about the Turin Shroud. This is the case of Hans Naber, or Kurt Berda, and his followers, who wrongly supposed a man alive enveloped in the Turin Shroud. The present work was done to explain why they were not right, also answering to many doubts raised by them. evident sign of death for Turishao men. Rigor mortis, for instance, absent of flattening in the buttocks area, in a position compatible with that crucified man. Separated blood of the side wand. The separation is possible only if the circulation activity is ceased. Blood stains are due to the fibrinolysis and were transferred from the skin onto the sheet in 30-40 hours. Experiments demonstrate that the amount of blood staining the shroud is minimum, 25 plus minus 10 milliliters, less than one expected for a living body. Experimental tests showed that the Turing Shroud sphere blow reached the heart, penetrating the chest for only 8-10 centimeters. The sphere blow is always lethal because it causes pneumothorax and lung collapse. No sign of breathing disturbed the face image. No image blurring due to the breathing in the chest and arms area, image area. No smearing or rupture of the blood crusts. The body went out from the Turing Shroud in an inexplicable manner, from a scientific point of view. A man is enveloped in the Turing Shroud, a man enveloped in the Turing Shroud would asphyxiate in few minutes. All this evidence show the death of the Turing Shroud man. Some theological consideration made by Professor Carrera. To say that one can remain a Christian without accepting the true redemptive death of Christ on the cross and his subsequent bodily resurrection is to totally miss the central tenets of the faith. Christ is the definitive sacrifice, the true Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Something that was prefigured in the Paschal Lamb and that remains as the only sacrifice of the New Covenant made present again and again in each Eucharist. The true resurrection of Christ with a new type of life outside the limits of space and time is the source of life for all those redeemed by his death. And it is the model and powerful force that will communicate life to those who rise from the dead as his members. The apostle didn't just see a survival that seemed so unlikely that it was considered a miracle. They had to see miracles at the resurrection of Lazarus and the son of the widow. But their experience of the risen Christ was totally new. They could see him only when he wanted to be seen. They could touch him and then he would suddenly cease to be within an enclosed room. They gave their lives for testimony of the resurrection, even if they were laughed at and persecuted for doing so. And this was not a slow recovery after the Passion. Christ was brimming with his new life less than 48 hours after he was put in the tomb. This is the faith of Christianity for 2,000 years, in spite of all the fancy proposal to water it down without a single datum of historical evidence. It is the words of St. Paul perfectly true today. If Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is empty and we are the most miserable of men. If our Lord did not conquer death by his resurrection, there is no hope for us when we die. Thank you for your attention.
Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.